proposal is that such processes may be recommended for the adhipendriya, those who cannot conquer their senses. Devotees, however, have already conquered their senses. Sarva-badhi-binir-muktam tat-parasena-nirmalam. A devotee is already free from material contamination. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur therefore said, Dushta-mon tumi kisher vaishnav pratishthar tare nirjaner ghare tavo harinam kevala hoita. There are many who like to chant the Hare Krishna mantra in a silent, solitary place. But if one is not interested in preaching, talking constantly to the non-devotees, the influence of the modes of nature is very difficult to surpass. Therefore, unless one is extremely advanced in Krishna consciousness, one should not imitate Haridasa Thakur. Haridasa Thakur, who had no other business than chanting the holy name always, 24 hours a day. Prahlad Maharaj does not condemn such a process. He accepts it. But without active service to the Lord, simply by such method, one generally cannot attain liberation. One cannot attain liberation simply by false pride. So, Prahlad Maharaj is praying to the Lord, and by the process of praying, while praying, he is actually teaching us how we ourselves can accept the process of devotional service. What are the fundamental principles of spiritual life? Now here he is pointing out 10 different processes, but then he is saying that some people, those who follow the process but do not develop attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for them this process actually is not effective. They may externally practice these processes, or pretend to be practicing these processes, but finally, ultimately, they are not actually making any advancement as such. And the ultimate criterion for advancement or ultimate criterion for being situated on spiritual life is developing attachment to the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna. It is said, dharma shanushtita punsham vishakshena tathasuya not padayet jadirotim shramadirotim kevalam. These different processes of mauna, vrata, tapo, shaucha, etc., they are the practices of dharma, the external practices of dharma. Dharma sha anushtita pumsha. If a person practices these processes of dharma but does not develop the attachment to the Supreme Personality of God, no padayet jadi rotim. Roti means attachment, spontaneous attachment. So if one does not develop the spontaneous attachment, or if one does not practice these processes for the sake of developing the attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, then it is simply a waste of time. Shramo evami kevalam. It is just a waste of time, a waste of our endeavor. Shram means hard endeavor. They are just working hard for the sake of nothing. So, that's why Prabhupada is pointing out that for a devotee who has been situated on the path of devotional service, for him, these activities are not actually very important. He does not have to separately endeavor for these 10 different religious practices. Because by being situated in the spiritual platform, by becoming a devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by developing the love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is to be understood that he already has developed the 10 different processes of religious practices. But of course here we have to understand that we should not falsely think that we have already become devotees and that's why we do not have to follow this practice. And that's why Prahlad Maharaj is saying that the one who were falsely proud, this procedure may not be successful. The one those who are falsely proud and pretend that they are already situated on the spiritual platform, but they are not actually situated on the spiritual platform. Those who have not become devotees of the Lord, but those who are proudly thinking that they have become the devotees of the Lord, they are in a very, very unfortunate condition. They are called dharma dhwajis. They carry the flag of dharma, but they do not actually represent the proper principles of dharma. And for that matter, the caste Brahmins of India and the so-called Jati Goswamis of India are a perfect example. The caste Goswamis and the caste Brahmins of India today. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur actually waged a war against them. He wanted to unmask them. He wanted to reveal their, show their true colors. And that's why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur made it very, very clear to the Vaishnavas of following Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line. Actually, it is not Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur himself. He actually followed the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also did the same thing. Like big Brahmin, but Mahaprabhu himself being born in a Brahmin family, he accepted the position, or he showed how to become humble. Whereas the Brahmins those days were behaving in a very, very obnoxious way. Actually, the cause of the destruction of the Vedic culture is the extreme pride of the Brahmins. They were not actually situated on the Brahminical platform, but they claimed that they were Brahmins. Actually, the Brahmins are obviously not by birth. One becomes a Brahmin by guna and karma. But these people, they claim that just being born in a Brahmin family, they are actually Brahmin. And that's why they call the caste Brahmin. Just by birth, they pretended. Just by birth, they wanted to have the right of being situated on the Brahmaputra platform. But the scriptural understanding is that by birth, everyone is a Shudra. Jamana Jayate Shudra Samashkara Havati Dvija Tedo Pathad Havet Vipra Brahma Jana Siddhi Brahma. Jamana Jayate Shudra, by birth everyone is a Shudra. Everyone, even if he is born in a Brahmin family, he is a Shudra. But Samashkara Havati Dvija, by the purificatory process, he gets his second birth and he becomes a twice born. Dvija means twice born. Samashkara, bhavati dvija. But just being initiated as a Brahmin is not also enough. Samashkara, bhavati dvija. He gets his second birth. He becomes a twice born, but still that is not enough. A Veda pathat bhavet vipra. By studying the Vedas, he becomes a vipra. And Brahma Janati Iti Brahmana. And when he becomes Brahma realized, when he becomes situated on the transcendental platform, then he becomes a Brahmana. But unfortunately these people claim that they are Brahmin because they are born in a Brahmin family. And they carried on with this ritual. They became very expert in remaining silent. They became very expert in observing different vows. They became very expert in studying the scriptures. I won't say just studying, just reading the scriptures, because the word study has realization linked with it. But they just read the scriptures without any understanding whatsoever. So apparently or externally, they all were very expert, very puffed up. But inwardly, they were completely empty. And they literally paved the way for Kali. Kali actually entered through the Brahmins. We can see that Kali could not enter as long as Parikshit Maharaj was there. But Kali took the advantage of Shringi and cursed Parikshit Maharaj, and that is how he entered. So Kali actually entered through this Brahmin, but Prabhupada specifically pointed out that Shringi was not a Brahmin, he was a Brahmabandhu. He was a Bijabandhu. He was born in a Brahmin family, but he did not develop the quality of a Brahmin. Because Brahmin's business is to protect the Kshatriyas. And a perfect Kshatriya like Parikshit Maharaj should have been protected by the entire Brahmin community. But this unfortunate person, Shringi, became a victim of Kali and he cursed Parikshit Maharaj. And by the curse of the Brahmin, when Parikshit Maharaj died, then Kali entered. And first Kali attacked the Brahmin, the head of the society. And when the Brahmin were, the Brahminical culture was destroyed, when the Asuras were actually pretending to be the Brahmin, then they completely destroyed the Vedic culture. This is another thing that is, it has been predicted in the scriptures that the Asuras will be born in the Brahmin family. Rakshasa Kolimashrita Jayate Brahmajonishu. Taking advantage of the age of Kali, the Rakshasas, the demons, will be born in the Brahmin families. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur fought very fiercely to destroy this influence of Kali. And he fought with the Brahmin, and on the other hand, at the same time, he fought with the so-called Vaishnavas, the Sahajas. Those who were pretending to be Vaishnavas. And by the time even the Vaishnavas started to claim that Vaishnavism is also a birthright. Therefore the caste Goswamis. Unless and until one is born in a Vaishnava family, one was not accepted to be a Vaishnava. Or one would be accepted as a Vaishnava, but he would not become Acharya or a Guru. He could not carry on with the disciplic succession. So now we can see that even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line became contaminated by that misconception of these Brahmins. And they claim that unless one is not born in a Brahmin family, one cannot become a Goswami. That was their thing. That unless and until they are born in a Goswami family, one could not be accepted as a Goswami. So these are all kinds of misconceptions are entering into the pure process of devotional service which was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is the most precious thing of this age. Anarpita Charin Chirat Korunaya Bhuti Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute what was not given before. Never ever it was given in the past. Honor people, Chorin Chira. And in order to give that, he has very mercifully appeared in the age of Kali. Korunaya Abhutirna Kalu. And what is that? Samarpayitu Unnata Jala Rasham Shabhukti Sriyam. In order to distribute Krishna consciousness in the highest mellow of devotional service. Samarpayitu, samarpan means to give. Unnato ujjala rasam. The unnato means most elevated and most brilliant mellow of Krishna consciousness. So Mahaprabhu came to give that most precious object, not only of this material nature, but that it is also the most precious object of the spiritual sky. And in order to distribute that most precious object of the spiritual sky to the most degraded age of this planet and to the most degraded living entities of this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has appeared. And whoever accepts this process is undoubtedly very, very fortunate. Because this object, this precious thing that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave is even rare for Brahma. Even Brahma doesn't get that. What you talk about Brahma, even Lakshmi doesn't get that. And what you talk about Lakshmi, even Krishna becomes greedy to taste that most elevated level of devotional service. So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu distributed. And that is what Srila Prabhupada has distributed all over the world and distributed to us, the most degraded living entities of this age. So that is the most wonderful mercy of the Lord and His devotee. So we have to be very, very careful that we do not destroy this wonderful object that we have so fortunately received. It has actually, as Mahaprabhu's mercy is spreading, at the same time Kali is also trying to stop it, because Kali knows that as Mahaprabhu's movement spreads, that is the death for him. Kali is destroyed by, influence of Kali is destroyed by Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement. And that's why Kali is fighting, literally fighting tooth and nail to destroy this movement. Kali did it right after Chaitanya, a few years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left this planet. Actually, it took only two generations. The Goswamis in Vrindavan were preaching. After that, Srinivas Thakur, Shyamananda Prabhu and Narottam Das Thakur were preaching very vigorously. But then, there was a gradual decline. Then why there was a decline? Because Kali entered into this movement of Lord Chaitanya. And Kali entered in the form of fight. Kali spread this influence not only by this four sinful activities, but the tool in the hand of Kali to spread his influence is Kurva. Kali spreads his influence by making one another fight, making each other fight. And that's why we see that in the age of Kali, everyone is fighting. Brothers are fighting with each other, husband and wife is fighting, son and father and son are fighting, the friends are fighting. So we have to be very, very careful that we do not allow Kali to enter into our movement in the form of fight. That's why it is very, very important that we remain united. United we stand, divided we fall. And that's why Mahaprabhu gave this process of Sankirtan, the congregational chanting. Because if we become divided, if we are not together, then we will fall apart. Our spiritual life will be destroyed. So that's why the Sankirtan movement means that we have to remain together. Sankirtan does not necessarily mean just chanting together, but to be united in the entire process of spiritual life. As long as we are situated on the spiritual platform, we must remain united. And the other day there was a very important subject that was being discussed in the class, the unity in diversity. Like, of course, our natures are diverse. Every individual, every body is an individual. And he has his specific nature. So how do we become united? Naturally, there will be differences. But in spite of our differences, we must remain united. And how do we do that? Regarding that, I often remember an example that Prabhupada gave. Prabhupada once gave an example. Take a handful of paper and throw it in the water. Then every single paper will create a circle of waves, and that wave will, or rather those waves will keep on expanding, and then finally they will clash with each other. But if you take the pebbles and keep on throwing them one after another at the same point, then all those pebbles also will create a circle of wave, and those circles will keep on expanding, but they won't clash. Now pebbles may be different. Some pebbles may be round, some may be rectangular, some may be hexagonal, and so on and so forth, and some may be red, green, blue or white. But all these pebbles, as they fall into the same center, they will create a circle of wave, and the wave will keep on expanding, but there won't be any clash. So the understanding is that we keep on serving Krishna. Let Krishna be the center of everything that we do. And sometimes Krishna also becomes a rather remote point, because it is difficult for us to always focus on Krishna. We do not know how to focus on Krishna, because Krishna is so remote, and our understanding of Krishna is so vague. But we have one object that is very close to us, that is Prabhupada. And if we keep doing everything for the sake of Prabhupada, for the sake of Prabhupada's movement, then we will never clash with each other. I notice that all the clashes that we are experiencing nowadays among ourselves are mainly due to the fact that we are not quite focusing our perspective onto Srila Prabhupada and the society. And that's why Prahlad Maharaj has given us the warning, Tamphikanam, false pride. Those who are falsely proud, they can never make advancement on the spiritual path. And that's why Mahaprabhu gave the counter, gave the concept, the principle to counter that. And what is that? Trinagopi Sunichet. One way we have the pride, but other way we have humility. And Mahaprabhu gave us the process of countering that the most dangerous enemy towards our spiritual progress, bumper of pride, that is humility. So Vaishnava's first qualification is to become humble. Recently one of our so-called sannyasi is distributing some book, one Bengali sannyasi is distributing some books on Siddha Pranali. And he is saying that our society doesn't, our parampara doesn't have any Siddha Pranali. But these fools do not know that the Siddha Pranali that Mahaprabhu gave is Trinagopi Sunichena, Karoliko Shanishmana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sarati. This is our Siddha. Our process of making spiritual advancement is that. The first thing, become humble. Srinadopi Sunichi. Become more humble than a leader, or more humble than a straw. Tarobhiko Shadishina. Become more tolerant than a tree. Amanina Manadena. Desiring no respect for oneself, one must give respect to others. And then only one will become able to chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. Kirtaniya Sadhati. So actually the Yuga Dharma is Kirtaniya Sadhati. The Yuga Dharma of this age of Kali is chanting the holy name of the Lord. That is the Yuga Dharma. If we can do that, then we are situated on the perfect process of religion. But in order to chant the holy name, we need to fulfill these three requisites. That is, Trinagopi Sunichena, Tarodipa Shadishmana, and Amarina Manadina. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes, I will ask you. Yes. Sit up. Siddha means perfection, and Pranali means process. The process for perfection. Yes.
I very much appreciated your point about trying to remember Prabhupada and his mission, and in that way there'll be cooperation, there won't be any quarrel. A nice antidote to support that. Once there was a devotee named Ishan, and Prabhupada asked him, "So you're remembering Krishna?" And the boy became a little doubtful. He was thinking, "Well, Prabhupada..." So Prabhupada said, "Anyway, you just remember me remembering Krishna." And in that way...
Yeah. Any other questions? Or any comments? Any suggestions?
I was sharing with Brahma Pandu.
Brahma Bandhu means he is not exactly a Brahmin. A Brahmin, one of the most important qualities of a Brahmin is tolerance and mercy. Even if he's insulted, he doesn't take it. But he failed to act on it. Instead, he used his Brahminical power. He actually had a lot of Brahminical power. Right? And with that, he misutilized that power to curse Parikshit Maharaj. Because Kali could not destroy Parikshit Maharaj. It's only by the power of the Brahmin that he was able to destroy Parikshit Maharaj. Yes, Yeah. Yeah. So that's a nice point. Bhakti Vinod Thakur was actually, Bhakti Vinod Thakur also fought very strongly against this so-called Vaishnava, who were actually found as Sahajiya. And he is describing them, Tilak Ata Kokni Para. So he's describing that he has tilak on his forehead, kokni para, he's wearing kopi, and he's wearing kanti mala, but actually, man, he is a chala. In fact, actually, he's an agent of Kali. Chala means an agent. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur pointed out that actually Kali entered in this age in the guise of a Vaishnava as well. They are the Sahajas. And there he also described there are 13 kinds of Sahajas. Aul, Baul, Lara, Lady, Karta, Paja, Shai, Sahajiya, Sosimiti, Churakari, Gaur, Naruri. So they have their philosophical. And those philosophies are quite established on the scriptural injunction. But be careful, they are the agents. That's how we learn. And that reminds me of in Bible also it has been mentioned, the devils also quote scripture. Devils also quote scriptures. So, this is the thing, like, two forces are acting. Mahaprabhu's force of Sankirtan is acting in one way, and Kali is trying to stop the progress of Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan. But we, the followers of Srila Prabhupada, must not deviate from the main teaching of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as I pointed out, the most important thing regarding that is to remain united. And also in that respect, I can consider another point. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur united the society of Vaishnavas. But and he instructed his disciples to remain united by following a GBC body. A united leader to remain united as a society. But unfortunately, they did not follow that instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that's why the whole society fell apart. Like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur instructed that they must have a GBC body and work under the GBC body. But some of his disciples could not understand that concept, and they revolted against, and they said, how can one make spiritual progress? How can a spiritual society be governed by a body, by a managing body? That's how the world looked at it. And they pointed out that there must be a spiritual head, there must be an acharya, and the leader of that society, he actually said that he passes urine on the body of the GBC. He personally told me. And so that was the concept. And so they propped up the concept of acharya, and then Kali attacked us. And so that was the concept. And so they propped up the concept of acharya, and then Kali attacked the acharya, because it's very easy to attack an individual. So Kali attacked the acharya fell down into women, and then the whole structure fell apart. And there was nothing actually to prop up the structure. And that's where we see that the wonderful society of Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established is destroyed completely in 20, 30 years' time. And then Prabhupada came, the most worthy disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and he spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. He actually extended fulfilled the dream of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and the dream and the prediction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that in every town and village the holy name should spread. And then Prabhupada also gave us that warning and that remain united, work together under a GBC body, and your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other. And another very important instruction of Prabhupada is, no matter whatever happens, don't leave ISKCON. So we must be very careful to remain together under a united body of the GBC as a international society for Krishna consciousness. Yes.
Democracy is a very popular word in the world. Democracy is a popular word in the world. So I was thinking that can democracy be used in the name of happiness or something in a society like ours to help its advancement or something? Because it's...
The thing is that in Krishna consciousness, all the isms and all the crises are there in a perfect form. In Krishna consciousness, there is perfect communism. In Krishna consciousness, there is perfect democracy. In Krishna consciousness, there is perfect autocracy. And so on and so forth. So the thing is that if Krishna is in the center, then whatever policy, whatever process you follow is perfect. But if you do it without Krishna, then no matter whatever ism or whatever crazy it is useless. So main consideration is whether Krishna is in the center.
What does perfect democracy mean?
Perfect democracy means the devotees together figuring out as a united body, what is the best way to spread Krishna consciousness? What is the best way to establish Krishna consciousness?
What about if there is different classes of devotees? Some are Kanishkari, Karish, some are Mariamma, some are Uttama.
No, the thing is that we never, in the Vaishnava society, at least in our society, Prabhupada never really wanted there should be democracy. A voice of the Vaishnava, the body of the Vaishnava, can voice their opinion. But the ultimate decision must be made by the head. And that head is not an individual, but also a body, a governing body commission. So that is our policy. That's the perfect policy that Prabhupada gave. So that is the perfect autocracy of the GBC and the perfect democracy of the Vaishnavas. I think this is the time for darshan. Okay, I think the last question of Gaurav Bhakti.
Coming was finding it much easier to enter one individual.
Right.
And so Srila Bhakti said, I could see that there is no one on the platform who could be in charge of the institution, so he wanted to organize the governing body commission. But they didn't do that. And then one man became in charge of it, and he was here by public. So Srila Prabhupada is also given the same instruction to organize the governing body commission. But someone can give the logic that, just in the same way as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples didn't organize, and Krishna made the arrangement that Srila Prabhupada came out like a shining moon. So someone can make the logic that we don't have to worry about keeping a GPC together. Because somehow or another, if something happened, then a self-emulsion acharya would come in the same way as Prabhupada.
Yeah. Now the question is, I'll make a counter question to answer that. Is, should we destroy the society in order to have some acharya coming up in future who may come or may not come? Should we opt for a so-called acharya at the expense of destroying the society? So the thing is that our business is to protect the society. If Gaudiya Math was to gather, then the world would have been receiving Krishna consciousness, say 50 years ago. The holy name should have spread 50 years ago, but we can see that, because Gaudiya Math fell apart and Prabhupada went in 65, so for 35 years the people in the West were deprived. Since the time of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada. So, since we have the structure, it is our duty to have the structure intact. Why should we allow it to be destroyed? Then what is the guarantee that an acharya will come? And what is the and how do we know when that acharya is going to come? So why should we take that risk? Yes, one acharya, if ISKCON also falls apart, sure, Mahaprabhu's prediction will come true. The holy name will spread. Another acharya will come. But when? That is the question.
What happens to us?
Huh? And then what happens to us? Right.
Is that it's not because the holy name was fell apart that Prabhupada came to be dominant. Prabhupada was destined to be the torchbearer of the Sampradaya, whether Gaudiya Math fell apart or not. It was not the criteria for Prabhupada's coming.
Right, that's a good point. If Gaudiya Math was there, then they would have been glorified with Prabhupada, with Prabhupada's accomplishment. But because they fell apart, so whatever fragments are still existing, they cannot share the glory of the most wonderful associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.